Hello, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 102 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? I am sorry, it's been a while since I've done a podcast. Last week, I had an accident. A guy turned into me, changed lanes into me on my motorcycle, and it broke my foot. So I was out of commission for a couple of days, actually on pain drugs, which probably wouldn't have been the best podcast. I heard Ted Cruz was running for president, and I thought I was hallucinating, but apparently that's true, and I'm going to get into that in a few minutes. But anyway, I'm doing okay. My foot is okay. I'm walking around. You may hear some background music. That's not the usual music that plays my podcast. No, that is the pool party here at the MGM Grand, because I am at the Brad Garrett Comedy Club in Vegas working this weekend, and that's it. So I'm okay. The foot will be okay. I think I'll be in a walking boot for about a month. No surgery required or anything like that, fortunately. And my somewhat vague health insurance covered everything. And then, you know, I have my insurance company. He has his insurance company. The lawyers will fight over it. It's really funny in an accident how all of this works so that everyone gets a piece of the action. You know, the tow company towed the bike away and then stored the bike. And then after a few days said they were going to put a lien on the bike, so I would have to pay a lien fee. So they got their piece. And then, you know, the emergency room, which did an x-ray, and told me my foot was broken and that I should go see a doctor. They really said that as hilarious to me. But then they got their piece, and then, you know, I go to the doctor and I'll do the doctor visits and blah, blah, blah. I don't think I'm going to employ one of those ambulance chasing daytime TV make money lawyers, but if it comes down to it, I will. I mean, you know, insurance companies are in the business of trying to lowball you on claims. I'm not looking for $1 million for pain and suffering, but I don't know. I'll see how it plays out. So anyway, that's part of what happened to me, and that's part of why there hasn't been a podcast for a while. But the other reason is, and those who listen on any semi-regular basis know I've said this before, nothing changes if nothing changes. And it almost, I don't know if the right word to say it bothers me, but it almost seems like a waste of time to do another podcast when the topics stay the same, when the narrative stays the same. Now, what I'm talking about and what I'm looking at is this trend of incredible racism in colleges. And it's not, you know, obviously at this point you have to say it's not a fluke. It's not a couple of instances. I think we can say we've got a trend here, and I don't think the trend is the racism. I think the racism's been there. I think the trend is finding out about it. So most recently, this week at Duke University, there was a noose hanging from a tree. Now, if you think that's not a racist message for a noose to be hanging from a tree in North Carolina, well, you're dreaming, or you're Fox News, one or the other. It's sad. I'm not even angry about it. It's sad. It's sad and it's pitiful. And, you know, before that, we had, of course, the fraternity at Oklahoma singing their little I Hate Niggers song, you know, no niggers in the fraternity and blah, 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 blah. And we also have in Maryland. There was an email sent out by a student at Maryland, and I'm looking it up now. Give me a minute, because I'll give this to the guy. He covered it all. When it came to racism, misogyny, I mean, this kid was not, he was not particular in his hate. He covered all groups. So this is what he wrote in his email. Don't invite any nigger gals or curry monsters, or which I guess would be Indians, East Indians, or slanted-eyed chinks unless they're hot. So if they're hot, I guess it's okay. Ziggy, your girl can come. Now, here's the thing. Right after writing, don't invite any nigger girls, he writes in the same email, remember my niggas, erect, assert, and insert, and above all else, fuck consent. So, yeah, he pretty much covered hatred of racism. But how do you say, don't invite no nigger girls, and then say, remember my niggas, That is a comical level of stupidity. Now, the president of the University of Maryland did not reprimand the student because he said this is a student's right to free speech and it's a private email. And it went viral, you know, once he sent it. Listen, we've said it before. We'll say it a million times. People will never listen. If it's on the internet, it's public. Someone's going to see it. It's going to go out. But anyway, I'm not going to judge the stupidity of this. I'm not going to judge the racism of this. I just feel sad for us as a nation, as a society, because these are our universities. These are our colleges, which means I was wrong. And my hope with the millennials, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, like the article I looked at on my last podcast, I guess they are as racist as the prior generations. And we as a society, I guess, are just going to have to deal with it. It's a shame. It is sad. And the funniest thing about it is you can bet every one of these schools, because these are all powerhouse schools in athletics, Oklahoma, Duke, Maryland. You bet every one of those schools, every one of these races is rooting for their niggas in the NCAA tournament. It's a damn shame. Now, another example to me of nothing changes if nothing changes. There is a man in, let's see, after doing 30 years in jail for a murder he did not commit, he's been set free. And this happened in Alabama. I know, big surprise that a black man in Alabama was on death row for 30 years for a crime he didn't commit. But anyway, this gentleman, I'm getting his name, forgive me, his name's Hinton. So Mr. Hinton was released. He was arrested in 1985 for two or three shootings, three people shot in two separate incidents. And at both times, he was at work, and he had alibis. He had proof he was at work, and they convicted him based on sketchy forensic evidence saying that the bullet found in one of the victims was shot from the gun in this man's house, which not only it would make him the dumbest murderer of all time, right? I mean, you're going to use a gun in multiple crimes and then keep it at home and pretend it's your home protection weapon? Really? Are you that stupid? I don't think so. But anyway, he's been released after 30 years, and it's interesting. The guy Mark, who sent me this article, and thank you, Mark, I appreciate it. And Mark sends me some brilliant stuff and some great political cartoons. Very cool. I like that when people send me things like that. But anyway, Mark said this is, you know, it's sad that this man being freed after three decades in jail is good news in the black community. And I don't know that it's good news in the black community. Obviously, I can't speak for the entire black community, but, you know, I think it's good news for him, obviously, and for his family that he's finally coming home after 30 years. It's beyond a crime that the man lost three decades of his life. That can never be replaced, even if they pay him whatever they're going to pay in a settlement. It can't be replaced. But as a community, it's not good news. It's like we've been fucking telling you this forever, that the justice system, Richard Pryor said it a long time ago. Yeah, it's justice, all right? Just us. Our justice system is so, when you talk about institutional racism, our justice system, and please don't give me the attorney general's black routine that they run on Fox News. Don't even try that, okay? Our justice system is so broken, so ridiculously biased, that a man being freed after 30 years on death row for a crime he didn't commit, or freed after 10 years or 20 years or whatever, it's not good news. It just shows that this is business as usual. It shows you wonder why black people are suspicious of the police. This is why. This is why. Because this isn't an unusual case. You're not surprised in hearing this. This happens all the time. This happens all the time. If you're a black man, you know on any given day, you can be arrested for a crime you didn't commit, wind up in jail for umpteen years. And that may sound crazy to you. That may sound ridiculous to you. That is absolutely true. And it's been known in the black community forever. And now, because of strides in DNA evidence and other science, and because of, you know, people who have never given up on these fights, now people are seeing that it's true. And they're like, wow, that's horrible. Yeah, it is. It is horrible. I don't know what to say. I'm sorry, man. Another podcast where I'm not being funny. Damn it. I really got to work on that. I'm sorry. I'll give you some funny. I'll give you something that backfired. Indiana's anti-gay law. Indiana's the latest in a series of states that have passed these laws for, and I definitely put this in quotes, religious freedom. And this one's backfiring. Now, what these religious freedom laws say is that you can discriminate against a particular group, in this case, gay people, if being fair to them is somehow in violation of your religion. I know it is the most backwards thing, but as you know, the right wing is so good at twisting things around. Right now, they would call me the racist because I brought up the fact that numerous people who have been jailed for a long time unjustly are black. See, I said black first, so I'm the racist. So they twist everything backwards. So religious freedom means the right to discriminate. So what they've done is they've given businesses in Indiana the right to discriminate against gays. Now, there was such a large and instant backlash, and Indiana was like, wait a minute. What about, you know, Alabama and all these other states that passed the law? You didn't get mad at them. Well, Indy, you're Indiana. You're maybe a little too close to the fabled Mason-Dixon line. I don't know what it is, but right away, the NCAA, which is holding the NCAA tournament, the Final Four in Indiana, spoke out. The NBA spoke out. Obviously, tech companies like Apple Computer, which is run by a gay man, spoke out. Numerous organizations that hold conventions and et cetera, business and money spoke out against Indy. And to the point where the governor came back with an amendment to the law a couple of days later saying, well, we meant religious freedom, but not discrimination. It means discrimination. But here's the thing. This is what they found out, that the right wing, the so-called religious, whatever you want to call them. Yeah, guess what? They love money more than they love Jesus. That's right. When the money threatened to walk away, said they are backing away from this law. And when I say Jesus, I am not saying it in the sense of, you know, love thy neighbor as thyself, or the true charity of religious people, et cetera, et cetera. I'm talking about the people who corrupt religion, use it for hate, use it for power. It is backfiring. It is backfiring over and over. They're finding out these discriminatory laws, and this stupid ass backwards thinking is backfiring, because the people, you know, they see through it. They see through it. They know it. People know exactly what it is. We know what this law was about, and they tried it. The right wing tried it. They said, we're going to pass this law and we're going to get more support from the hate side. And what they didn't realize was, It backfired, and they lost a lot of the business side. Now, there's an interesting article I've read by a woman named Linda Hirschman, and basically it says the conservative coalition gets cracked. And what it's talking about is this handshake deal between religious conservatives and the Republican Party. Okay, and this goes back to the 70s when Howard Phillips and Richard Vigouret consciously undertook to make a coalition between the religious right and Republicans, and it worked, and it succeeded beyond all imagination. And we've all seen the results of this, right? We've all seen that now, you know, all the code words, family values and all of that, it all means extreme right-wing Republican because of it. Well, now the partnership's breaking. Arkansas wouldn't pass the Anti-Gay Religious Freedom Act because of Walmart. Walmart said, no, we don't want it, because Walmart didn't want the headache, because Walmart, as you know, is based in Arkansas. And the one in Indiana, even NASCAR said they're not with it. Yeah, NASCAR made a vote for diversity and gay rights, which, whew, there's a reach. I said a reach, not a reach around. That was you. That was you that thought it. But anyway, this deal, this handshake deal, this wink and a nod between religions and Republicans is cracking because of business. It's bad for business. Discrimination is bad for business. Oh, and by the way, if you support these anti-gay religious laws, you damn sure ain't listening to my podcast. But if by chance you do, don't think that your group can't be affected, okay? Because let's see. First, we'll start with, well, I can't serve gay people because of my religion. And then it'll be, I can't serve mud people because of my religion. And the mud people would include anybody who's black or brown, because that's a line somewhere in the Bible. And then, oh, you're a Muslim? I can't serve Muslims because of my religion. Oh, you're a Jew? I can't serve Jewish people because of my religion. And so on, until they get to your group. And that's when it'll matter to you. So, once again, this is just like the domestic violence in the NFL. Listen, that didn't stop because of women getting abused. That stopped because Anheuser-Busch said they were going to take away the beer money. Money talks. This is America. You want to know what religion we are? Green. Speaking of politics, I said it before, I'll say it again. And people came to me about this and they said, are you happy? Ted Cruz is running for president. Isn't that going to be easy for you comedians? No, because Ted Cruz isn't funny, stupid like George W. Bush was. Ted Cruz is dangerously stupid, like putting Sarah Palin in a position of power. He's even worse. But I'm not taking him seriously as a candidate. This won't last long. We're just opening the cast of characters in the next Republican reality show. Ben Carson, the genius neurosurgeon who, I guess I've said it before, I'll say it again, his brain must have got so full of information and science and genius that it cracked and leaked out. And now he's Ben Carson compared, this is when I knew something was seriously wrong with this man. He compared Obamacare, the Obama health care plan, to slavery. Somehow, I don't think 100 years from now, there'll be a movie, 12 years of healthcare, you know, where they forced me to go and have checkups every year. And they went ahead and insured my kids. It was horrible. 12 years of Obamacare. They're still trying to undo Obamacare. I don't know. Ted Cruz, where do we start the list? From made up statistics, like something like what the 100,000 IRS agents out to get you or something, and there aren't that many. I know what it was. The IRS agents should be patrolling the border. It was some ridiculous nonsense. Oh, and by the way, that would be the Mexican border. It couldn't be the Canadian border, because then Ted Cruz might not have gotten in. He is Canadian, after all. I know he's done a lot to whitewash it, to cover it up, to make us forget, but he is Canadian. He has a big problem with our current president, who's somehow Kenyan, but he's a Canadian. Born of American parents, I believe that's the loophole that he'll use, that he can run for president. I don't even care. I'm not going to get into it. Maybe this will be something for Trevor Noah to attack. Trevor Noah is going to be the new host of The Daily Show. He's replacing Jon Stewart. I wish him luck. I'll be 100% honest. He would not have been my first choice. I would have chosen an American comedian to take over the show. Trevor Noah is from South Africa. International superstar, not known well in the U.S., but a megastar international. Maybe that's why Comedy Central picked him. Listen, he's young, he's smart, funny, good looking. He's got the right look for the show. The day after they announced it, people turned on him, which is always a good sign. They brought up some tweets he's put up in the past, tried to make him look like he was anti-Semitic or misogynistic. And I don't think it was that. I think he was just a young comic who wasn't really good. And when you're not good, you go for the low-hanging fruit. So you do jokes about Jews running the music business or women being fat. It's part of being a young comic. You hopefully grow out of it. I'm sure he has. So I wish him luck. So let him tackle this Ted Cruz thing. And maybe maybe being a foreign person, he'll have a different take on American politics, because we have a presidential cycle coming up and he's going to be right in the midst of it. I wish him luck. Did I want the job? Of course I did. Every comic who's done three jokes on politics would want that job. But Trevor got it, and good luck. Finally, I'm going to wrap it up talking about the tournament. As you know, I love college basketball. It's my favorite sport. I hate that everyone's getting paid. It's a billion-dollar business. Everyone's making money except the players. Nothing I would love more than the players to walk out on the floor in a championship game and say, you know, we're not going to play. I would love a move like that, but I know they can't. But anyway, I am pulling for Kentucky for a number of reasons. One, you know I don't like underdogs. I like the favorite, and I want the favorite to win. I'd love to see Kentucky get that perfect 40-0 season and set a new record. And you know what? I hope that 8 of the 10 Kentucky players do go pro next year. Listen, forget college. If you can go to the NBA, go to the NBA. Go get that money. There is no reason for these college kids to stay in school and make all this money for the school, for television, for the coaches, for the you name it. Everybody who makes sneaker companies, from McDonald's All-American all the way up to whatever level of college. No, there's no reason. If you can make it go to the NBA and get your share of the money, kid, go. But be sure you can go pro. Don't go pro and not make it, because then you're really screwed. But if you're a blue chipper, I say go pro. But in the meantime, you're playing at Kentucky. Win it all. I wish you luck on a 40-0 season. This is Alonzo Bowden wrapping up episode 102. Thanks so much for checking in with me now and then. Next week, April 8th and 9th, I will be at the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach, California. And starting on April 14th, I will be a part of the Just for Laughs Roadshow. So I'll be back in Canada on tour doing a big circle around Ontario. That's one of the provinces, people. Don't worry about it. You don't need to know Canadian geography. But anyway, I'm going to be doing a bunch of shows throughout the Ontario province. I look forward to it. I love Canada. And yeah, I'm going to go ahead and look for Ted Cruz's ancestral home. Thank you. I love you. Keep laughing.